This is the second hour of the Phil Hark Radio Show. And, yeah, so, the idea, little girl, and I know there are so many of the women out there wanting to champion this movement, toxic masculinity, oh, so much toxic masculinity. yeah, well, I would love to hear your opinions on this case. Well, I mean, we have a little girl here, an elementary school girl, who turned shooter. Now, I don't know much behind the scenes stories. I can only make educated guess that, obviously, the girl had a mental breakdown as far as having to go as far as shooting. You know, this is not typical girl behavior. When a girl has a mental breakdown, usually it's self-inflicting behaviors that follow. But to go after other people, it's really one of those situations that has to be looked at, has to be looked into. Now, as cowardly as our police are, once again, we have a hero who had to take charge of the situation. And she did it with loving, kind guidance. Okay? And she did the job. She did what she was supposed to do. I commend her. She's definitely on the wall of heroes, as far as I'm concerned. Again, it doesn't matter who it is. Where this girl get the gun from? You have to look at the parents. I doubt this little girl went to any shop and put a few hundred dollars down to buy a gun. We place all the stress upon the individual when the individual is not necessarily responsible. I wouldn't make this little girl responsible for what she did. I mean, there are instances of child murderers. I know there's one here in the UK who this girl was choking boys out left and right, but she was someone who came from a broken home. Her mother was a prostitute, drug user, the whole thing. Never got any kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Any kind of love at home. Any kind of that intimate support. So she was still of a serial killer mindset. This girl was either born a psychopath or turned into a sociopath by her environment. Here, we had a little girl. I don't know. Again, I don't know her history. I don't know her past. I don't know if she's had any victims before the situation. It may be one of those situations where she was a sociopath or a psychopath. But from what we have right here, it seems though she had a mental breakdown. Typically, a sociopath or a psychopath would not have given up a weapon and would have continued to fire, probably killing the teacher. So, mental breakdown. Okay, we're looking at mental health and all this now. What can be done? You have to look at the parents. And I know there are a lot of people going to be angry at me for this statement, but instead of having a license for a gun, how about we have a license for having children? Because it's getting ridiculous. Just popping out little versions of you and unleashing them onto the world. I'm starting to have a real problem with that. Especially when they have no guidance. They come out to be worse people than you are. All right, I'm going to stop pontificating here. We're going to get to the phone lines. I do believe we have over 9,000 in Florida. Line one, go ahead.
I think you hit it on the nail there. You're a product of your environment. I've heard that. Well, I don't like to say product, but a lot of crime comes where there's a lot of poverty. And yes, that's always been the situation. When you're around where people, there's hopelessness, there's poverty, there's crime and ignorance. I could watch videos of, I just watched a video on BitChute of these African guys in Germany. They walked up to this beautiful German girl and just punched her in the face, and they're all laughing. And one guy threw her on the ground, pounded her head. I see that too. I just look at it as just, you know, bad, evil, just bad. I mean, the older you get, the wiser you get. I'm just, like I've told you before, I'm just so glad I've grown up around all kinds of different people. And, you know, growing up where I grew up at, we had, I told you before, I grew up around a lot of black folks, a lot of Spanish people, a lot of Cuban people. And there was always that, put it this way, when we got into a fight, it was just a black guy got in a fight with somebody. I'm glad I grew up then. At the end of the day, a lot of us just made friends. You know, at the end of the day, we're playing basketball. We go, well, I got my butt kicked, or he got his butt kicked. We didn't pull guns out and stab each other. But now that you see how culture has really got worse. I mean, what you see on TV, the movies, you know, the music, it's all an influence on everybody, you know, and especially these kids. There's a lot of latchkey kids when I was growing up. Their parents had to work. So they were into things like one kid, he used to break in houses. I'd hang around with him. I'm going to go break in the house. Well, you know, I don't want a part of that. I did it with him one time, and I felt so horrible because I'm getting these people's house, and I'm looking at the pictures and all. I go, man, this is wrong. This is just wrong. Well, it was just, you know, he didn't have good parents. Well, all he had was a mother who worked all the time. And I understood that later on. Well, he wound up a life of going in and out of jail, prison, drugs, all that. You know, it goes along with it. I just saw something recently. They were saying, it was one black fellow. He grew up in Germany because his parents were in the military. And he had a very high IQ. So they try to say, well, black people have low credit. No, it's if you grow up in a bad neighborhood, you're probably going to have a low IQ because everyone around you has a low IQ. It's you're a product of what you're around. Well, I use that word product. You're part of what you're around. If you're around a lot of stupid people who just want to go steal and rob, that's all they know. That's part of their life. So, and it can get that way. You know, I mean, is there any answer to it all? I don't know. I think this subject that you're touching on has just been around forever, you know, since the dawn of mankind. You know, you got Rich.
I can tell you, we have, some similarities in our background. I've spoken about the bullies that I've beaten up over my lifetime. These very same bullies, we're friends to this day. I think we've taken out, they want to take out the primal aspect of our humanity. And when you do that, you create, okay, well, let me make an analogy. It's like Christianity telling you you can't masturbate. Oh, I can't touch myself. You know, one of these days you turn to one of those Christian psychopath that hate women because they talk their sexuality so much and they start killing people. Or they become a serial rapist. So when you suppress a part of yourself that's natural, and I do believe that everybody on this planet has deserved to get an ass kicking or will at one point in time in their life. Right. Just a friendly scuffle. Somebody, and that's something to learn from. That's a part of who we are, to get your butt whooped or to kick somebody's butt. And that's the end of it. Or, you know, in my cases, I gained a lot of friends from it. who came to a mutual understanding.
There's some people who've gone through life have never gotten a fight at all. That actor who just died, Ray, what his name was, he played in all the mafia movies. Said never gotten a fight in his whole life. Well, lucky you. I don't like to. I've had to fight a few bullies, you know, and I've got my butt kicked. But, you know, I never was the one, the aggressor. I never really went around bullying. I couldn't stand bullies. I couldn't stand them. I detest them, too. I hate them, too. But, you know, there's a lot of good, like you say, you know, there's a lot of white people who will adopt black children. You know, I don't see a lot of Chinese people adopting white people, or I don't see a lot of, I'm just saying there's good, there's just good and there's bad. The older you get, you realize that. I mean, I know you're reading blogs and things and you see racist people. They're just ignorant people. They don't understand. They just really, maybe they've got some issues. I don't know. Until people get over it, like I said, you know, they've got a lot of hate and they want to direct it towards other people. Have you ever heard the story of Sidney Poitier? He's one of my favorite actors. I love all his movies. I like to watch him.
Same here.
Story: he was washing dishes in a restaurant. Couldn't read or write. His parents had to work. I think his mother brought him up, and there was a Jewish man who taught him how to read in this restaurant. He'd be there every day, taught him how to read, and he'd become an actor. I mean, you know, he tells that story. Such a wonderful story. That's a great. When I see Sidney Poitier. When I see his movies, I don't see a black dude. I see an intelligent man making good movies. When I hear Jimi Hendrix's guitar, I go beyond how, you know, as far as Chuck Berry. Black people have gave a lot to society. But then again, you know, the whole thug culture, the whole thug thing now, I mean, it evolves from poverty. It really does. You know, you see the videos of the guys with the gold and the guns and they wind up dead, the whole rap thing. I think it really hasn't helped society very much. You know, I look back at how I grew up the era, and I'm a musician and I love music, but now I look back and I'm like, you know, like I told you before, I'm starting to be like, you know, maybe it was all garbage. Maybe. I don't want to think we all be walking around with wigs on, listening to classical music, like whatever. And I've learned things like, you know, like, okay, George Washington had slaves. He cut their toes off so they couldn't run away. Now, if you put me in and I've had this discussion with some of my friends, and I said, you know, if you put me in a time machine, I'd go back and I'd hate George Washington. I'd try to free, because I love people. I couldn't do that to another human being. That's the worst thing at all. But a lot of it, and I don't even want to touch on it because I don't want to piss everybody off, but a lot of it does come from the Bible. I mean, a lot of it was from the Old Testament. And I love church. Don't get me wrong.
Half the people that attacked me on Gab were, Bible thumpers. And pulling quotes out of the Bible that were somehow supposed to reflect that black men were evil and the whites should dominate the world. I don't know how they read it, but that's how it translates to them. Yeah.
And I don't even want to get into that, but, you know, they justified it because it's in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament you can have slaves. You can have them, and it's okay. And Jesus Christ himself, he didn't say, hey, free the slaves, man. No, he said be good to them. Don't beat them. Don't hurt them. Just be good to them. Love them and be good. And, of course, the Bible waters it down depending on which one you read. It says servants. Well, servant means slave. I mean, concubine means hoe. I mean, you're it's really it. It's really kind of, and well, that's a bad thing because I grew up in church, went to church. I almost went to seminary. I got out of that, and I don't put all that down. I just kind of evolved from it, I guess you would say, because I see the hypocrisy in it. I see it's almost like you got God, you got the devil, you know, the controlled opposition, and we're in the middle. You got the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. But like you were talking about church, I really love the community in church. I love churches that, you know, they go out and do things for people. There's a lot of goodness in that. I hate it. What if we could just do that sort of thing without, you know, I think that prayer is just like putting energy out there. I'm getting off on something else, but it's just putting energy out there, you know, like the frequency out there. You know, I hope this person gets better. We're all focused on this person. Help them get better, you know, or whatever. Or I think that when you – and I've – seen it myself. You put that out there. You put things out there. But, and I miss church, really. I really do. Just the nice people, like you said. You meet people who are very, very nice. You have And there's a lot of goodness there, but a lot of that sprung from that, I think, and a lot of slavery did, because it's biblical. Mm-hmm. It really is. No one wants to talk about that. That is the big, well, they try to, there's apologists that try to, that there's a cartoon on YouTube, you ever heard of it? It's called Dark Matter. It's pretty cool. It shows you a lot of that stuff, and it shows you, wow, you know, you learn from that. Have you ever heard of that? It's a cartoon. It's called Dark Matter. I think it's called Dark Matter. Yeah, and it's just cartoons showing you the biblical parts. A lot of it's slavery, how slavery was justified. And it was justified to go kill this group of people because you didn't worship their God. Yeah.
On YouTube? You've seen it.
Yeah. It's on YouTube,
okay,
I think.
Yeah. Actually, Dark Matter 225 something. I started off my awakening with with that YouTube channel during that same period, several years ago, maybe I want to say about 8 years ago, Dark Matter. He goes through all the biblical hypocrisy and all that stuff.
Right. But I still love. I mean, I love the people. But if you corner them and say, why do you have to kill an animal? Well, that's Old Testament. Well, no, wait a minute. Now, wait. That's Old Testament, but it says to hate this group and hate that group because they don't believe this. And, you know, you're going to slaughter an animal and do all this crap. And, well, God likes to smell a burning flesh. Well, he sounds pretty mean to me. I don't know. I mean, he's going to, you know, I like to think that God is like this, my dog that just died. I mean, something that I expect God to be this loving creature that just loves you no matter what. And I'm not seeing it in that book. I'm done. I mean, I grew up with it. No, and it was hard to get out of that. And it's hard to explain that to people because, oh, you're just some atheist. I'm not. I don't know what. I think good made everything. I'm hoping good. There's more good. I like to believe there's more good than evil. I really would. We see the evil because it's projected on our TV screens, on our phones, everywhere around us. But, like, you go out.
And our messengers.
right. So, you know. There's still hope for the human race if they don't blow the world up first, you know, which I'm hoping that things will turn around, you know, be positive. But who has an answer to it all? I mean, we don't have any answers, but don't get upset because you see a blog or you see something. I see crap all the time. You know, I see, you know, these white kids, two skateboarders, get the crap beat out of them by about a bunch of black guys, and, you know. They're just stupid. It's ignorance, and it's hate, could you say, and the shooting thing. You know, like I say, they're a product of what they see. If you're around, if you live in the south side of Chicago, to have a gun or whatever to shoot people up, that's just, you know, it happens every weekend. So they're just, you know, they're just part of the environment, and that's what they're dealing with. You know, I mean, I think it comes down to that. It really does. It's what you're around and what you're taught, what you see, what you learn from. And poverty, I don't think, you know, I'd like to think that there really could be a utopia. You used to be, oh, utopia, that's stupid. I think, would it be nice if everybody had a job they liked to do or did something they wanted to do? Even a garbage man. There's some guy out there, I don't mind hauling the garbage. You pay me enough, I'll get up every day and do it. I can't get them to get my garbage here. I don't know. A lot of people aren't doing stuff. I guess because they're getting sick because the COVID's coming back or the whatever, the bioweapons around here again. But anyway, I really think that there's enough wealth, there's enough food, there's enough resources. It's just there's greed and there's some evil and that's what's been keeping us down for all this time until people evolve. That third eye you're talking about, you know, the guy with the third eye rules. I don't know. I don't have much more to say, V. How old are you anyway? How old are you? About 35 years old?
36.
36. You're very intelligent. Yes. You're very intelligent. It's really pleasant to hear you talk a lot of times. You know, some of the things you talk about. It's very enlightening.
Well, but anyway, thank you very much.
Somebody else will probably call. And Mike needs to talk more. Mike sees so much and hears so much. I know he's got a vent every now and then.
Mike is my unofficial co-host for this show. He can pop in whenever he wants to say anything. I encourage it, but, you know, I guess he's really busy with stuff, you know, since we're having a hard time keeping the station, you know, up to where we need to be, especially with the passing of John Stadmiller. So... You know, we've all taken a part of responsibility for running the station, and things haven't become exactly cohesive yet, and we're still figuring things out.
I mean, he listens to everything. He hears everything. He hears every caller. He hears everybody's point of view. So he's got to have a lot there. One day, if he ever let go, he would have a lot to say. I'm just wondering what his mindset is. Because he hears more than any of us.
I've already told him he would make the my perfect co-host.
Oh, yeah. He's got the experience.
I look at co-host around sometimes. It's like, which is really strange. I have the perfect man backing me up here, but he just has too many responsibilities.
He's got to be. You sound like a young guy, too. But, I mean, he's taking on a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, and it'd be really cool. I really love Mike Rivera. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but the things I do agree with him, I love him. His video, All Wars Are Brink Awards, that's such a wonderful video. I mean, if they could just put that to schools and let people watch that, let kids watch that. So educating. But I'll let you go, V. You probably got other callers. I'm sure the guy in California will call you, or maybe Pat will call you, or the guy talking about Bubba. I like hearing him. I can't understand him, but he's entertaining.
Let's
go, man.
Yeah, well, definitely call in tomorrow. I have a question to ask you, so definitely call in tomorrow.
Ask me? You have a question to ask me? You ask me right now. I mean,
well, I want to go into the subject of hate against whites, because this is the gentleman that sort of bridged the gap for me. He sort of bridged, because after all these people dogpiled me with their N-bombing and their hate, one guy approached me on Gab. His name was Hate Against Whites. And he sort of just let me know that these people felt threatened by me, and which is nothing new. Oh, you know, white man threatened by an intelligent black person that knows more than them. It's not anything new to me, but he let me know that I was stirring up the pot, and I had to tell him, you know, it's not the case. So these people were spewing inaccurate hate propaganda, you know, white supremacist propaganda. So that's just, like, not real on any level. It's just the stuff that's repeated in the media, and these people are not smart enough to go and do their own research. Or they'll go and find the research that benefits them, but they don't get the overall, you know, situation. They don't understand, you know, they want, like I said, the fact that they want to talk about crime. Blacks are responsible for most crime. Okay, define crime. You know, white collar crime.
Poverty.
Well,
I'm not going to blame it all on that. Yeah. I'm not blaming it all on that, but it has a lot to do with it. It really does.
A lot
because
to
when
do
you
with
have
it.
Hope,
a lot.
When you have hopelessness, what else is there? I mean, yeah, there is. I've seen racism on the other side. I mean, it's a two-sided coin. I mean, you know, there's, like I said, there's some neighborhoods you didn't go into, and they just let you know that they don't want you there. You know, I mean, but then. Again, I mean, I've been, like I said, I was broke down in Alabama in an all-black town. They had nothing but love for me, helped me, nice. Seems like people who live in rural areas, the more religious people, some of them are a lot nicer, depending on where you are. It's in the bigger cities and all, where all the crime is, where all the poverty is. But what was your question, though? Did you have a question for me? I mean, because
I just want to be on that topic. Hopefully, I can. I'm going to approach this man since he seemed to be very sensible, and I would like to have a civil discussion with him, have him as a guest, and have all you guys talk with him as well.
Just some guy you're talking to him, you're texting. I mean, you haven't talked to him.
I don't know who it is.
It could be somebody just typing a bunch. Oh, you have. Oh, okay.
Well, not with words, but on the social network.
Okay, well, you're typing. You don't know. It might be some bald guy living in his mom's, you know, basement. You don't know. It'd be a white guy, black. You don't know who it is. I mean, you know, it's like going on a dating site. You don't know who you're talking to. You know? So don't let it get to
agenda,
you, B. Come on, man.
His agenda is clear. Which is, you know, his name, Hate Against Whites, which doesn't necessarily denote that he has hate against other people. He's just pointing out that he feels his race is under attack, which is a good starting point. I think, you know, if he can respect other people, he's just defending white people.
Well, maybe,
that's a good starting point.
Maybe one day he'll get in a car accident and a white guy will come and put his car will be on fire and he'll save him. He'll have a different point of view. I had my mother was dying in a nursing home. I remember told you that. And there was a black guy in there. He was gay. I mean, really open gay. You could tell he was gay. And she was dying. They wouldn't give her pain medication. And he was so wonderful. I gave him a hug, man. I was like crying to this guy. He was so nice. He was screaming at the people in the nursing home, give this woman her medication. And he was a black guy, and he was gay, you know. So, and I looked through the window when he thought I left, and he was taking care of my mother. And, you know, there's so much goodness in people. And I have a friend from South Africa. He was in the South African Army. He defected from there. Black people killed his, you know, when they went crazy over there, killed his grandfather on his farm and all. And he had a lot of rage. And when he came here, he saw that, you know, well, he kind of grew out of that. Now he has black friends, you know. I mean, but... anyway, I'll let you go, B.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Definitely listen in tomorrow for sure. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back to the phone lines. Stay tuned. Rumble!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
I dare you to come against me.
right. Yeah. We're back. Let's do it. Okay, so we have, let's go with Lynn. She's in Maryland, line three. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing pretty good. You helped me get through a pile of bills. Not that I paid them, just that I put them in a stack.
There you go.
It's progress, believe me. You know,
absolutely,
maybe tomorrow.
I understand.
I'm a little tired tonight. So I'm like, what was it I was going to say? Because I'm falling asleep here. But I really appreciate your program. You're in, aren't you overseas somewhere?
Yes, I live in Poland currently.
Poland. I thought they didn't like black folks in Poland. I mean, like when there were refugees coming from Ukraine, they weren't very nice to folks of color when they got to the border.
Well, see, the thing is, I'm American, and Americans are worshipped over here, so I have that edge.
Oh.
They think all Americans have money, and I couldn't tell you. Just walking down the street, I have long dreads. I have nonstop Polish guys asking me for weed. The homeless guys will ask me for money. And I actually like these guys because they're honest about it. Hey, I'm broke, but I need another beer. Can you? Will you buy me a beer? You know, I'll flip them a five slotus coin so they can go get a pack of beer.
I know somebody over there actually rented a house so that folks would have a place to live while they were getting it together, I guess, to get back to Algeria or wherever they were from. Do you know if that's worked out?
I don't know. I know the government's trying to be a cheapskate by letting, if you house a Ukrainian, the government will subsidize you 40 slots a day, which, if you think about it, is not a lot. Okay, so 40 slots a day is about
now,
roughly
wait a minute.
10 American dollars.
There.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
But they're not Ukrainian. They were students who were going to school, but they're from other countries.
Yeah, they didn't make it over here. But the Ukrainians themselves, the government is they have a program.
Well, over there, though, and they were actually put, like, kind of in camps, but fortunately, somebody found out about it and did what they could to kind of help them. So I haven't heard anything about it now for at least a month, so I'm not sure what's going on. I thought maybe you knew.
That would actually make sense because, like I said, for the white Ukrainians, if you put them up in your home, you're actually given 40 slots a day, which is about 10 American dollars, and that does not cover... You know, it doesn't cover everything. That doesn't cover three meals. That doesn't cover, you know, air conditioning if you have it. That doesn't cover, you know, water, electricity. So
there must be other charities, though, that must be. It probably doesn't get to everybody, but there must be other folks throwing in money.
That would be the American. That would be the American government throwing in money. Because the
Any more money. I mean, there is no more money. It is just funny money. It's not even Monopoly money at this point. It's like just a word.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking
Our
about.
Our good faith.
Well, I mean, I don't see why. I do see why. But the United States government is throwing so much money to these people, and it's only going to... put us more in debt. It's going to put us more into poverty, especially as the ruble is now at the height of its worth. The Russians know what they're doing.
We're not coming out of this looking real well. This is just not. But I actually was going to say something. But the guy who was on before me, you know, when he was kind of like, you know, just when kind of sure stuff and I can tell you, it took me 55 years to realize that nobody had ever told me the truth. Every mm-hmm. church I went to, and I was raised Catholic, but, you know, I've been to a lot of Protestant churches and a lot of churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lord, help me with this. Show me anything in my life that's wrong, that isn't right in your sight. Any place that I am off the path, you know, that, and I'd had a brain injury, which, you know, I had the foulest smell in my head, and I couldn't listen to TV, and I could only hear one thing at a time. And the Lord led me to the King James Version of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and everything fell into place. And what I did was I said, God, help me put out of my head, out of my mind, anything I've ever believed to be true, everything I know to be true, anything I've been taught is the truth, everything that I've been taught is wrong, and I just want to know what you have to say based on your word and your word alone, and please don't let anything else influence my understanding. And what I found was nobody had told me the real truth, and that the Bible is not even difficult as long as you don't read all these other versions and study Bibles and stay away from commentaries and men's opinions. It's actually, Scripture does interpret Scripture, and all you need is a good, you know, like, you know, a good dictionary, you know, just a regular old collegiate dictionary. And it all falls right into place.
Well,
opinions that are confusing. And it's the thing, and it's like the same thing with hate. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't hate each other. I mean, there are people who are full of hate and just wacko people, you know, and we avoid those people. But, you know, most of us don't see when we come upon somebody that, I mean, believe me, I can sense when there's evil. But just because I see somebody, I don't expect them to be evil. Believe me, I've walked up to evil, you know, and known. You can sense it when it happens. But that's very, very rare, because most people, they're just like all the rest of us, unless they've been raised to believe that somehow they're above us or they're just psychopaths. And most people just want to be heard and cared about, and know that somebody cares enough to listen to what they have to say.
Absolutely, and it's very poetic that you mention, you know, the truth and realizing you haven't been told the truth. I have, just me being on YouTube, I have gone through so much stuff, and, you know, oh, wow, this is cool, this is really neat, and I'll like some things, and but next thing I know, a year or two later, there'll be some debunking video. It's a whole, like, genre and industry to debunk stuff. Like, for example, the primitive technology stuff. I used to love these videos where it would show two guys, it's usually two, like, Malaysians or, you know, someone from over in East Asia. They'll have these two sticks, and they'll start digging in the ground, and they'll basically excavate a lot of dirt, and then they'll mix water with the stuff, and they'll start building these two-story houses with straw and mud, and they'll make water slides and pools, and it's like, wow, two people did this, and this is actually possible. With the, you know, they'll siphon water from a nearby stream to stream to fill in the pools, and then now I'm seeing these debunking videos where people have had their personal flying drones. They'll go over the sites where you see cranes and different work equipment and teams of dozens of people actually making the sites, making these things. And apparently these things rot and are destroyed by the weather, you know, weeks later. So they're trying to, you know, it's always something that they put in front of us, and it's absolutely a falsehood.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was thinking. You can no longer believe anything that you see on a video. Because they have, you know, I mean, they've gone so far past Photoshop, it isn't funny. And you don't even have to pay for this stuff to get synthetic reality. I mean, you can, right. You know, you can go to a site and just have a video or a picture altered. And, you know, you used to be able to tell that somebody had been tinkering with a video. But even then, if it was what somebody wanted to see, they would ignore that it was like such an amateur job and accept it as a fact. Right. And, you know, that's the most, I try to pray every day, God, please don't let me fall under any deception or delusion, but to know the truth. Because one of the things about truth, I mean, we all have opinions, but when it comes down to it, there is one truth about everything. There aren't two truths about something. There's one truth. And you can, and on the internet, you don't know what's there. It could be a bot, for Pete's sake. You don't know. Half the time, you're just getting played, and they're just running a game on you and gathering statistics and seeing what AI thinks and teaching it something else. And we're the fodder. And that's why I got tired. I called my congressman tonight, and I actually got mad. And I said, look, I don't want you to have my biometrics, and I don't want you to have my DNA, and I want my privacy back. I'm tired of this. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you all do not have a right to my stuff. And don't tell me my DNA in my stuff.
Well, see, but that's the workaround. Whenever they create one of these diseases, when they bioengineer one of these viruses and flood it out to the public, and they come up with these gene therapy, because they're no longer vaccines. It's gene therapy. And when that stuff gets inside you, oh, well, that stuff is patented. And it's inside you. That means
his doctor actually told me last week, well, you just have to take risks. And you're just going to have to deal with pain. And I'm thinking, you know what, bud? I could cause some pain on you here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for Pete's sake, what a stupid thing to tell somebody. And no, I am not getting in an Uber with somebody. I was already poisoned with chemicals. You think I'm going to get in somebody's car with their hanging down, you know, pine tree scent hanger thing? I'll be sick as a dog with that motion sickness. When I have a doctor who says federal law says that we can't do telemedicine. And I'm like, what federal law is that? Would you please tell me? You know, all I want is my thyroid medicine. You know, it's not like I'm drug seeking here.
Right.
You know, I mean,
agree with you. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And people just come up with all of these rules and laws and hoops to jump through, and I usually say, no, you know, little word has a big meaning. I don't have to give you an explanation past it either. You know, and what? People aren't used to that. People are so used to being either distracted or they're willing to allow themselves to be manipulated.
And willing to allow themselves to be manipulated. You said it. I mean, there's so many people who are taking these sides, you know, white supremacy or, you know, I'm an ex Black Panther member, a general, okay?
I
was an ex Black Panther general. I had to step outside of that because, the Marxism and just they're so stuck in the past that they have not adapted to what's going on today. And, you know, trying to explain the stuff to these people, it's like, well, you know, Mao and screw Mao. We have a technological takeover today that's made all that stuff obsolete.
Well, actually, and that's the thing, I haven't been on the internet since 2017. I stopped watching TV long before that, and I'd gotten wireless out of my house even before 2017.
Wow.
So,
how are you
it listening changes
to the show?
Your life. It takes a good 6 to 8 weeks to detox from wireless and the internet. Yeah, it would be easier to take a bottle away from a raging alcoholic, like I'd be stupid enough to do that, than it would be to take somebody's phone or tablet away from them. They're so addicted. And they've been played. I mean, we pay for this stuff to be manipulated and to have our data called and to be analyzed and to feed big data. And it's like, God, how dumb can we be? And we are that dumb. We have to have it. Oh, you have to have it. What are you going to do? And when I first heard that, I said, well, I'm not real worried about that. What if you have an emergency? And I said, well, everybody else has a phone. You know, but think about it. There aren't even any payphones anymore. And I have had one problem when I was trying to get my mother out of an insane nursing home where she shouldn't have been sent. And the guy at the desk actually was telling people that when I said, could I please use your cell phone? I need to call 911. And the guy behind me was telling them not to let me use their cell phone. And they played. Yeah. You know? So, you know, the world does have oddities, for sure. But this crap with the diseases and stuff, one, I can't get vaxxed. I wouldn't anyway. But now they come up with monkeypox. They don't have a vaccine for monkeypox. Oh, but they do, because I know somebody who works at Fort Detrick. I said, well, are they going to give you a smallpox vaccine? And how is it that they made the same exact mistake just about that they did with COVID and pulled the same thing with HIV? It's just gay guys. Come on.
Well, it's actually
come on.
Come
Nobody
out,
can be that stupid. And
it has just actually come out.
Monkeypox here.
It has actually just come out in the news that the monkeypox was actually being worked on and experimented with in the Wuhan lab as well.
Well, you know what was funny? I think it was Ron Johnson, held a hearing. This was last year. He had all these scientists, and they asked, you know, this one scientist if they thought that the Wuhan lab had released the COVID virus intentionally. And he said, the one scientist that answered said no, because if they had done that, they would have gone to the front gate of Fort Detrick and released it. And I thought, isn't that ironic? Now, I knew the first week in January from the Washington Post that COVID was here. Why it took these people till March to figure anything out is beyond me. But even before that, there was a picture of two U.S. military folks standing in front of the steps of the Wuhan lab. And then in February, when I heard there was a motorcade blocking up 270 coming down from Fort Detrick to D.C. with Mike Pence, I thought, well, here we go. You know?
Well, you know, I have a friend who, I've had him on the show quite a few times. He was a soldier that worked there at Fort Detrick. He's currently dealing with illnesses that he's been dealing with pretty much his whole life because he worked there as a soldier. You're reminding me of him. I got to get him back on the show. But, yeah, I absolutely
Fort Detrick is one place I would not work. Actually, I have cousins that grew up in Frederick, and when we were young, there was a definite huge cancer cluster in the Frederick area. Also, you know, it's a biotech lab, and if you've read any of Judy Mikovits's books, I mean, I like Judy. I don't agree with everything, but Fauci did her wrong. Absolutely did her wrong. And that's why this long COVID, it's nothing but chronic fatigue. And you could say it's nothing but if you have chronic fatigue, it's horrible. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's segments of a virus that are now creating havoc in your body.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what they had published a paper she didn't even want published, and then went after it was published. Yeah, if you read her books like Plague of Corruption, she's good. She's good. So, you know, I mean, you just get into that level of the government and you're, you know, you got a problem. They're a problem. They're the government. You know? I just want to see what comes out about the two. You know, I can't believe the Secret Service lost all of their text messages. It's like, hey, explain that one. You know, you and I, we couldn't lose one thing, you know, if they were coming after us.
Well, that's the NSA. So that's... The NSA doesn't catch terrorists. They cover up government crimes. That's what they're all about. So
they're good at it.
Yeah.
Who's going to go after them?
I thank God for 4chan and all my anonymous brothers. We wouldn't have all the footage of Hunter Biden crack smoking. Orgy having Hunter Biden.
Well, that doesn't make him any worse than most people. You know, he just happens to be the president's son. One of the worst things I did in life was open my father's six-pack of Billy beer when he was out of town one weekend, and we ran out of beer. And he was like, you did what? He was ready to kill me. You know, life goes on, and it's going to go on until it doesn't go on here anymore. But that'd be a long time. We got probably at least another 1,007 years to go, I know. So, well, I'm not going to make it that long. So, well, I really appreciate talking to you, V, and I appreciate your program at night. I'm glad I caught you. And I wish you all the very best. And I hope you don't get this damn heat wave, because I can tell you my air conditioner's broken, and it's hot here in D.C.,
Well, actually, it just started yesterday. It was actually freezing cold here in Poland until yesterday. So I know I'm going to start having to deal with it here. I've got to do something. I got to get some more fans or something, because it's not really
a thing
to have an air conditioner.
You know what? Make sure you have plenty of wet washcloths and just, you know, clean washcloths and stick them in the freezer. That'll really make a difference. Believe me, it'll cool you down. And
okay.
Make sure you have plenty to drink, like orange juice and water, like, you know, because Gatorade's probably made by the Chinese or something in a jerky anyway. But, you know, if you get some fruit juice and water, you'll get some electrolytes. You know?
Yeah,
isn't anybody thinking that there is somebody tinkering with the weather here? I mean, you never hear anybody talk about it.
Weather warfare? I talk about it all the time.
Well, and they don't do chemtrails anymore. They actually spent 20 minutes on, NPR, not NPR, the TV, PBS NewsHour a year and a half ago, 15-minute program about, you know, they're always getting ready to experiment. It's like, dear God, you know, like, nobody knows. I'm like, there's a 2009... report on geoengineering in the U.S. House of Representatives Science Committee report. Get that. And go to the top 10 list of what not to do for unintentional consequences, and you'll know what they're doing, because they're doing those top 10. But then they stop. Once they stop denying, you know, chemtrails, because they were actually dispersing it higher, and now they actually have platforms up in the atmosphere.
Lynn, you and I can talk forever, especially.
Okay,
about
let me
that.
Let you go, because I'm sure you have other callers. God bless you, V.
Well, it's the end of the show.
Let me ask you
something. Thank you very much. I hope to talk to you soon. Wow. Yeah, guys, this is another episode of That's So Hardcore, and I am your host, V. Remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So educate yourselves. Good night.
Say hello to my little friend. We'll Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.